A house is made of wood and stone, but only love can make a home. Welcome to the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, helping you make your home into one you'll love even more. Here are your hosts, Dan Hansen and Betsy Thompson.
Well, happy Saturday, everybody. Happy Saturday, Betsy.
Happy Saturday.
Now, normally, I would let you ramble on and on about inane topics at this point.
Uh-huh.
Give you your little minute.
Oh, yes.
But we don't have time for that. We've got way too many things, and I'm really excited about the last segment because we are going where we've never gone before, to the sewer.
Uh-huh.
We're going to talk about sewer backups, which is absolutely no fun.
No.
And we've got a number of solutions that you've probably never thought about. So that's the last segment. You're not going to want to miss that.
We're also going to get a little crafty today. I've got a great project for you, the kids, and really anyone. And it's going to help you put a colorful, creative spin on those really boring clay flower pots you have.
But before Betsy has her little moment in the spotlight,
uh-huh,
we're going to talk about solid color stain, which I know sounds really boring, but it won't be. It's a confusing product. And so we figure we really should dig into it a little bit. A lot of people have no idea what solid color stain is or where it should be used. And we're going to fix that in about 15 minutes.
But right now, let's get to our guest who's been very patiently waiting. We're in the studio with Nick Sargent from Johnson Carpet. And we're going to talk about something that's been rolling around in my mind for a little while now. Nick, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Okay, so I want to talk about wool carpet today because everything that I know about wool carpet, it's really expensive, so why would I want to buy it? But in my conversations with you, you've said, oh, you got it all wrong.
Yes.
So let's set the record straight on wool carpet today.
There are wool carpets that are very expensive.
Okay.
I will admit that.
Mm.
But over the years, as wool becomes more prevalent being used in a variety of industries, the price has come down a lot over the years. So it's much more affordable these days.
Okay.
And in relation to, say, a nylon or other synthetic fibers,
mm-hmm,
they have gone up in price over the years. So they've kind of sort of met in the middle a little bit.
Okay. So what is the advantage of buying wool over all these new things that they have out there?
Everyone has its, you know, pros and cons.
Mm-hmm.
I just happen to be a wool person. I love
right.
wool carpet. I mean, I think wool is the epitome of everything that I ever wanted in a carpet.
But that's you should just be wearing a coat made of wool carpet right now.
Yeah. You know, it's soft. It's extremely durable.
Mm-hmm.
It's a natural product. It is a green product because we shear it off of sheep and sheep regrow their wool.
Mm-hmm.
It will last for a very long time if taken care of correctly.
How long is a very long time if taken care of correctly?
Sometimes wool can wear, you know, 10, 20, 30 years. So, I mean, even
what
longer.
Do you get out of a regular carpet if taken care of correctly?
Regular carpets usually last, you know, about 12 years. Sometimes you can get a couple more years out of that before you really start to get that, I need new carpet feeling out mm-hmm. of it. You know, carpet just uglies out after a certain point.
Yep.
So if you're looking at it per square foot price, you know, it might be more expensive up front, but over the long term, it will be a better return on your investment.
Well, I do know that it has been frustrating because in my first house,
mm-hmm.
we saved up, we bought new carpet. It looked really nice. And it all of a sudden, I mean, not that it went bad in 3 years. No. It certainly didn't. But it dramatically, I noticed a decline in what I was getting out of it.
Yeah.
And wow, that was a lot of expense
uh-huh.
for something that just didn't maintain that look. And I've seen the wool samples that you showed us. They're very tight.
Most of them are.
And so you don't have this plush looking thing on the floor.
Yeah.
Or are they available that way?
They are available that way. You just got to remember, the more wool in there, the more the cost goes up.
Okay.
But, you know, wool does have a natural resiliency to it. So I was at a client's house a couple months ago, and she was like, you know, we've had this wool rug for a very long time. And, you know, they'd got new furniture, and it was indented in there, and it kind of bothered her a little bit. And I was like, well, let's go grab some ice cubes. And she's like, okay. So we went and grabbed some ice cubes. We put it
Made
on the
a
wool.
Cold beverage.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then you put it on the wool.
Yeah. So we took the ice cubes, and we just, you know, lightly rub the area for a little bit and then let it sit there. And she called me the next day and she's like, they're gone.
I mean, so what happened?
That's awesome.
So what's going on? Why ice cubes? Why not water?
Basically the same thing, but the coldness, and it helps contain the area you're working in, the ice cube, so it's not like it's going to spill everywhere. But the wool, you know, it's just taking moisture back in, and it's bouncing back the resiliency of their natural wool fiber.
So what about stains?
Wool is naturally stain resistant. Because wool is a natural product, it can take stains, and then it will release it. You know, kind of like when you're dyeing your hair, you know, you dye your hair, but eventually the color comes out because your hair is releasing that dye. Mm-hmm. Same thing with the wool fiber. But where synthetic carpets, you know, sometimes when it, you stain something, the stains turn because it's now filled in the dye holes of the yarn and you can't take that out.
Okay, now you're talking about stains in the carpet. Yeah. And previously, we've on other segments, we've talked about regular carpets and cleaning them. Mm-hmm. What about wool carpet and cleaning it? Is it harder to clean, more maintenance?
It should not be any more maintenance. I mean, you regularly get any carpet clean, no matter what the fiber is, you know, buy a qualified carpet cleaner. The only big drawback is some of the lesser expensive wools might fuzz over time, and you just have your carpet cleaner guy come out and he just shears it and it looks brand new again.
He shears the carpet.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Okay, talk about the sheep. I want to know the about sheep? where this comes from. Okay. Are there specific places?
Yes. So
that's so happy to me.
Yeah. Of course.
Tell me about the sheep farms.
The number one place for wool, especially for wool carpet, is New Zealand. They have the best sheep for making wool for carpets.
Why?
Just the environment, the breed of sheep they have. It is a premium type of wool. It is the softest. It's the most luxurious.
They clean this stuff, right?
Yes.
A lot.
Yes.
Because sheep aren't necessarily
so
terribly...
So you can go lay on your rug without,
you know... without hay and stuff in it.
Yeah.
So that's called scouring the wool. So once they, you know, shear the sheep and everything, and they need to scour the wool for making any sort of product with it. So that's
clothing what, or anything.
Yes. So they clean it.
Gotcha.
The more they scour it, the more clean they get it, and then the more apt it is to dye the wool into a color. So
does that make it more susceptible to staining?
No, not more susceptible to staining, but it does make it more expensive because you're spending a longer process
getting
the wool to where you want it.
Does wool stink when it gets wet?
Because sheep do.
Well,
we have a test sheep in the back. We soaked him down, and he's pretty stinky. Is carpet the same? I'm assuming no.
No.
Because
no.
of the cleaning process?
The cleaning process, and I mean, you don't have like big massive amounts of wool. I mean, you only have, you know, an inch or less thickness of wool. So, but you know, the beauty about wool is it actually helps regulate indoor air quality.
More so than other carpet.
It will.
And why would that be?
Well, especially it helps regulate temperature. In the summer, it can keep a house more cool.
Mm-hmm.
And in the winter, it will help keep an area or insulate an area and actually keep it more warm.
More so than anything else.
Yes.
How does it cool a room? Am I just dumb? I don't understand how that would happen.
It takes a temperature because the wool is actually filtering the air of the room. You know, say you had smog or something in a room, it will absorb that.
So if I can't see the other side of the room because of all the smog.
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Why would I not buy wool? That is just, that alone is so cool to me. It's doing stuff.
Yeah.
My other carpet just sits there. It doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
The wool's working.
It's
Don't
working
laugh,
for
Betsy.
You.
It's working for me.
Uh-huh.
For the
biggest
man.
Drawback is the options. It is a lot less, you know, options. I mean, usually most wool carpets have less than 10 colors in there. You know, other carpets, nylon carpets, you know, some of our color banks are up to 60 colors in there. So, you know, your options are a lot more limited. You know, it is a natural product, so we can only do so many things with it. We can't, you know, twist and turn it 10 different ways and add five different things to it. You know, and when we do that with wool, it makes it more cost prohibitive that most people will not buy it.
Okay.
So.
So what do some of the styles look like?
So you have your basic Berbers, you know,
yes.
those tend to be very natural colors, very heather tone colors, you know, kind of like an off-whites, grays, browns and stuff like that. And that's where it has a little speckled in it. And then, you know, we start to get pattern carpets, you know, where you'll see sometimes, you know, you think of your old floral designs and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be a lot of wool carpets. There's things called flat weaves, just like they sound. Looks like weaved. It looks flat on the floor. Stuff like that.
I would imagine that would wear like iron.
It does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
you
I have a lot
kids.
Of kids
you
running
need that.
All over. Well, that was the biggest frustration is, yeah, getting this carpet down. And then all of a sudden,
it's matted.
A couple of massive, you know, main walkways.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming the wool is going to hold up better than almost anything else on areas like that.
Okay, so if Dan gets wool carpet and he has to clean it himself because of a spill or something, the tendency is to I think generally use some sort of warm water. But if you wash like wool clothing in warm water, it shrinks. What about wool carpet in warm water?
You can use a little bit of water just to release that stain to get it out there. And, you know, you soak it up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're going to soak it up right away with a towel or whatever. Or there is cleaners and they tend to be a dry clean type powder that you sprinkle on there. You vacuum it up afterwards and it's going to suck the stain out of the wool fiber into your vacuum.
Well, Nick, there's a ton of things that we could just keep asking.
Yes.
I just love the idea of the sheep from New Zealand. I'm kind of hung up on that right now.
On your floor.
But if people have more questions or they want to see some samples of what's available, how do they best get in touch with you?
Just come into Johnson Carpet One or downtown Granville, corner of Chicago Drive and Wilson.
Excellent. Nick Sargent from Johnson Carpet One. Thanks so much for being here.
All right, now coming up after the break, we're going to cut through some of the confusion about solid color stains because we know that there is some. And we promise it is going to be fun, something you're not going to want to miss. Stay tuned.
Helping you turn your house into your dream home. This is the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, presented by Benjamin Moore.
Well, Betsy, it's summer. Have you noticed?
Have you noticed?
What is the tip-off for you? Is
With
it the excessive heat?
How can you not notice that it's summertime?
Yeah. I walk outside and I
instantly sweat,
huddling into my shoes because of all the sweat.
Yes, I feel like I'm melting.
Yes, basically, that's what it feels like.
Yes.
Summer's here. And
Absolutely.
With it, the exterior painting season is in full swing.
Oh,
we've noticed that.
Oh, yeah.
And really, no matter what you're working on outside, what project you're painting, whether it's your house, you know, or even maybe a kid's playhouse or a gazebo or a fence, whatever you're painting, a lot of people have it in their heads that there's only one option out there and that that option is paint. But there's actually a second option that in certain circumstances is actually a little better.
Right. That other option is a solid color stain. Now, when you say stain, people generally think, oh, that just goes on my deck. And when you say solid color, sometimes it gets confusing because people think that a stain is going to be something you can see the wood graining through and they don't understand the whole solid color
What is
thing.
A solid color stain? Is it just brown?
Right.
Just, no, it's any color you want.
Right.
People don't understand the product. So we're going to walk you through it. We're going to help you figure out what it is and where you'd use it. And to get to that point, let's just start with some differences between paint and stain.
Mm-hmm.
Now, paint, pretty basic, but it's a product that coats a surface. So it's going to lay on top you know, of the wood or whatever you're coating.
Right.
It's going to build a finish. You know, that's why when you go to the store, we're going to ask you, when you ask for a gallon of exterior paint, we're going to ask you, what kind of finish do you want?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want a flat, an eggshell, a satin sheen, a semi-gloss? Paint has all of those options to it.
Right.
It comes in an oil and a latex.
Mm-hmm.
Stain is different.
Right. Stain is actually going to penetrate into the wood. And it's important to understand here that solid stain is just what it says. It is solid, so it looks like a flat paint, but it does so much more because it is getting into the wood. And it has a lower viscosity. It's a thinner product than a traditional paint will be, and that means that there's less of that film build, and it also means that it's going to flow into all those little nooks and crannies on any roughs on surface that you may be coating.
Right, so it penetrates more easily, but on the flip side, you don't build any kind of sheen.
Right.
Right? So it's not going to be washable like a semi-gloss paint would be.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like a flat paint in that regard. It comes in an oil and a latex just like paint. So in that instance, they're both the same.
Yep.
So those are the basic differences. That brings up the next question, the bigger question, why in the world would I use one instead of the other one? Which situations require stain? Which one's paint?
Right.
Well, we've got a pretty simple rule of thumb.
Mm-hmm.
It's not perfect, but it's pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
So what we would say is if you're coating bare, uncoated, rough, sawn surfaces, then you would want to use stain.
Right.
For everything else, go ahead and use paint.
Yeah, so if the surface is already painted, you're going to use paint. If you're coating vinyl or aluminum siding, you're going to use paint. And if you have a metal surface, you're going to use paint. So let's take the example of a house with wood siding that's been painted, but it's starting to chip and flake off like so many older homes do.
Drive through town anywhere and look at the older houses, and you'll see an abundance of this exact example.
Right, and some spots are actually down to the bare wood, and since the paint usually comes off just in pieces and not in one giant right. sheet.
You never end up with an entire home that's bare wood.
No.
You've got paint on some, right. bare wood on other parts.
Right. So you actually want to coat everything with the paint because it's going to stick to whatever those surfaces are that already have the coating remaining attached.
Right. Stain is made to penetrate into wood, not necessarily bond to the surface of the paint that remains.
Right.
So that's a perfect example of where paint would be the product of choice.
Right. So the first thing you have to do is scrape off any of that loose or already flaking paint. And if you have layers of paint that are built up, you need to feather out those edges a little bit so you can't see them. And once it's clean, dry, and dull, you're going to spot prime with a really good exterior oil-based primer. Repcolite makes the 65 primer. And Benjamin Moore has a great one. It's called Fresh Start Moore White Exterior Wood Primer.
Just rolls off the tongue.
Yes, it
and
does.
65 primer doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Yeah, but that doesn't matter. It's easier to say.
Either way, we'll help you figure out what primer you need. Just stop in, tell us the situation. Yeah. We'll direct you to the right one.
Right.
Once you've got the primer on all mm-hmm. those bare wood spots, yeah. and once it's dry, then you would just top coat with one or two coats, depending, mm-hmm. of a good quality exterior acrylic latex, and you're good to go.
Right.
So that's paint. That's yes. where you would use it. Now, mm-hmm. one quick aside, though, before we move on to stain, is that if you're doing any of that scraping, you need to make sure you're lead safe. So what we would recommend is before you start, you check out a guide that we have in our show notes. It's the EPA Steps to Lead Safe Renovation, Repair, and Painting Guide. And as complicated as the name sounds, it actually is pretty clear
yeah.
on the steps you need to take. So check that out before you start scraping. And by all means, if you have any questions, stop in at any Repcolite or Port City Paint Store and ask us, and we'll help you figure out what you need to do. We
right.
want you safe.
Absolutely, we do. So that's the paint side of things. Now, stain, on the other hand, is ideal for any bare roughs on wood. So that's roughs on siding, T111 siding, cedar shakes, those kinds of surfaces. And the reason is very simple. Because of its lower viscosity, you know, because it's thinner, the stain soaks into the surface more readily than a paint is going to, and that means it's going to be able to penetrate, like we said, in all those little nooks and crannies that roughs on surfaces mm-hmm. have. It's also slightly less likely to peel on you, and it's not going to build up and hide that texture that you're going to get from roughs on like a paint would.
Right. So, for example, T111 siding on a storage barn or roughs on cedar on your home, we'd recommend a first coat of oil solid stain, and then after a couple weeks to a month, then you would apply a second coat, because mm-hmm. you always need two coats.
Right.
But the second coat, rather than going with the oil, we'd recommend that you top coat with a latex solid color stain. See, the oil penetrates into the wood and protects it, and
right.
the latex protects the oil base and
yes.
holds the color a lot better.
Right.
So typically, you wouldn't use just two coats of the oil stain because it fades very quickly. You know, that's
right.
one of the questions that comes up. Why don't I just go to two coats of oil? It's because it fades faster. The latex will hold the color better.
Yes.
The only time that we would recommend two coats of oil and call it good is if you're using white.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it fades, you're not really going to notice it.
Yeah.
So two coats of white, like on a fence, two coats of white oil-based stain, that's perfect. That's a great way to go.
Right. Now, one last place that you could potentially use a solid color stain is obviously on a deck. We don't like to recommend this solid color stain on a surface like that. We like to recommend a semi-transparent or a wood toner. But if you need a solid color, it is way better than putting paint on your deck.
Now, there is a ton more that we could talk about, but we don't have any more time. That's a quick overview. It should help you understand the basic differences before you start any project, but by all means, come into any Repcolite or Port City Paint Store. We'll help you figure out the best way to proceed with whatever project you're working on.
Exactly. Now that you've completely mastered the differences between paint and stain, let's put that knowledge to use in a very creative and colorful way. It's the perfect Saturday project, and we're going to tell you what it is when we come back. Stay tuned.
Helping you turn your house into your dream home. This is the Repcolite Home Improvement Show, presented by Benjamin Moore on News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.
Well, Betsy, usually on this show, I try to make sure that we talk about serious, weighty home improvement topics.
Of course.
You know, things that I've got wrong with my house.
That's about
that
right.
That we can get fixed.
Right.
It's a great way to get these things fixed.
Yeah, so I've noticed.
It helps me understand them,
uh-huh.
helps me move forward,
right.
and I'm sure other people come along for the ride and,
yeah.
and I help them.
Right.
Like coming up next,
mm-hmm.
it's not even a problem that I have anymore.
anymore.
But in my old house, we had the sewer backup.
Yep.
And it was always horrible. Right. I mean, really, sewer backup. Oh, Does anything
Is
sound good about that? But we've got Service Professor in the studio with us, and they've got some solutions that I had no idea were out there.
Yeah.
So we cover topics like that, serious stuff.
Oh, yes.
But you want to take us in a whole different direction right now. You want to get all touchy-feely and crafty on us.
Oh, good grief. Come on. You had more fun with this project than I did.
I did have a fair amount of fun. I really didn't want to say that, but I did. I really wanted to hate your project, but it's actually kind of fun.
Well,
so tell them what it is.
Well, we're going to take those boring clay pots that a lot of us have that, you know, we can hardly...
The little terracotta flower pots.
Yeah, that we can hardly wait for the flowers to grow over so we don't have to look at them anymore. And we're going to make them into something new that you are going to want to show to everyone around. And what I'm suggesting is very simple. It can be done...
Of course it's simple.
In just
it's
a few
coming
days.
From...
Huh? What was
you?
That?
Nothing.
I you had better take that back.
I do. I can tell by the glare, the crackling, that I need to stop.
Okay.
So tell them about your project.
So anyway, what I'm suggesting is very simple. You just take some paint or stain and you cover over these clay pots. It's a project that, you know, the kids and grandkids can get in on. And that's
what I liked
better.
About it. Everybody can get involved.
Yep.
It's the perfect project for a Saturday.
Right.
It was fun. It was honestly a little therapeutic.
Yeah.
Trying to see once what we could come up with.
Mm-hmm.
And the supplies, like you said, it's very inexpensive to get it all together.
Right.
Really, all you need are some artist brushes or maybe even those little sponge foam brushes.
Yeah,
that
a lot
might
of us
work.
Have those laying around our house. So that's
right.
Something you might not even have to purchase. You also need some disposable cups, you know, plastic cups or something else you can throw away for mixing the colors in.
Right.
So that's
check. Get that
exactly.
Stuff.
Some safe release tape. Now, this is so that you can make designs and patterns on your pots.
And the safe release part of what she said is important.
It is absolutely
not just
critical.
Any tape. Get safe release tape. Safe release tape, if you're unfamiliar, is tape that's made to go over delicate surfaces. You can put it on wallpaper and pull it off and not damage the wallpaper.
Right.
That doesn't happen with regular tape. You can put it over freshly painted walls and remove it without pulling that old paint off.
Right.
That's why you want to use this, because you're going to layer it on top of different things on these pots, and you want to be able to remove it without pulling off what you put on earlier.
Right. You also need to have some sort of drop cloth. We like to recommend canvas runners.
Canvas runners.
They're a 4x15. And you can get them for about $20 or so. It's much better than the plastic ones because they don't get slippery when you spill.
Or sweat. Yes, mine is like a slip and slide.
Yeah.
But not the fun kind, because it's normally on cement. And when I slip and slide and fall... Yeah. Yeah, so the canvas just wicks away that sweat.
Right.
It's pretty amazing.
Okay, now moving on. The last thing and most critical thing that you need is an exterior water-based solid color stain. Now, we're recommending a stain in this instance for a number of reasons. The first one, you know, as we mentioned in the last segment, it's a little bit thinner than the paint, so it's going to soak into the pot a little bit more.
Right.
It's also for exterior use, which is critical because you don't want the paint washing away once you put it on the pot.
Right. It's got a flatter appearance. At least that's what it seemed to do for us. It just looked almost chalky when it was done, which was cool.
Right.
And most importantly, you can get Benjamin Moore's Arbor Coat solid color stain in sample pints.
Yes, so instead of buying a quart.
Right. You don't have to buy quarts. You can buy these sample pints. They're around $8 to $9, somewhere in that range.
Right.
And you can get any Benjamin Moore color.
So thousands of colors to choose from.
Right. So pick three or four of them, get all these other supplies, and you're ready to go.
Yeah. Now, at this point, once you have your colors, it's just about getting creative with it. We tried using some of that safe release tape and making some shapes on our pots and things like that.
Yeah, just triangles and different shapes
squares,
like that. We would
whatever.
Overlap them. So we'd put a color down, let that dry, and then we'd put another shape over top of it, kind of overlapping, bleeding over into, you know, the part that we hadn't painted before, and put another shape down.
Right.
And then remove the tape with different colors.
Yes.
Lots of different things you could do here.
Well, and I'd like to point out that we did figure out that you should not use the tape whole as it is. You should cut it into very thin strips with a razor knife
if you're trying to do curves. Right. Cut it with a razor knife and a straight edge, like Betsy's saying, because you can control that better. We made strips that were almost like pinstriping tape.
Yeah.
And we could make curves and stuff like that and wrap these pots because the contour of the pot is tough to make tape, you know, work its way around and give you a nice smooth edge. But you can if you narrow the width of it.
Right. Now, the other thing you can do is really fun is to color wash these pots. And that just means that you're going to thin down some of that stain with some water. You know, there's no certain ratio. You just kind of play with it and see what happens to work for you. And then you can sponge on, brush on, wipe on, whatever you want, and you can layer these colors one over the other, and you really can't screw it up.
You can't screw it up, and it was so fun because we would color wash it with a blue or a green, and so we'd get this really watery, you know, stain. We'd brush that on, rag it off, and okay, it looks all right. Not thrilled. Maybe this pot's junk. I remember thinking that a couple times.
Yeah, so did
I. And then I would brush a yellow over top of it. Let's just see what happens before I throw it away. And when I would rub that one off, it smoothed out everything else. And all of a sudden, I had all kinds of different colors and tones and hues going on. And it started to get really cool. Then we would start layering other things. I put stripes on the side of one of them and then did some distressing where we got some sandpaper or like a Scotch-Brite pad and go around and distress it, pull off some of that stain that you put on.
Right.
And then you can re-color wash it and just keep layering.
Exactly.
That's where it got to be so much fun. You're just trying to see what you can come up with, basing it on the things that you learned along the way.
Yeah, and if this isn't quite your thing, if you're not into the muted colors and color washing thing, we have one quick great option. Repcolite makes a product called Duranamel. It comes in a high gloss. You can get any color that you want in that, but when you put it on there, once it dries, it looks like you have a glazed pot. So suddenly that very dull and boring pot looks like the more expensive glazed pot.
We could go on and on. Really, it's a simple idea, but a ton of different applications. And most importantly, it was just fun.
It was.
And it's a perfect thing for Saturday, for today. And like we said at the very beginning, it's perfect for the kids. I know my kids are going to think this is just a blast. Hannah especially, my youngest, is going to eat this up.
Absolutely. Now when we come back, we are venturing where no man, woman, or child should ever go. We are going quite literally into the sewers. Stay tuned.
If you want to take your DIY skills up a rung, the Repcolite Home Improvement Show is here to give you a boost on News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.
Well, welcome back, everybody. Hopefully you've got your hazmat suit and your rubber boots.
Oh, I have all of the above. And splash goggles, just in case.
Because we're whizzing right past the gutters.
Yes.
Normally we stop off there sometimes.
Yes, no.
We're going straight for the sewer this time.
Yes, we are.
Let's just get straight to it.
Yes.
It's going to be gross, but it's going to be interesting, and hopefully it will help some people out.
It will.
Now, Paul Gervais from Service Professor in Grand Rapids is in the studio with us. And Service Professor does everything from electrical to heating and cooling to plumbing, which is why we're sitting down with Paul right now. Paul, thanks for being here.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Now, I'm going to go back several years to one of the worst experiences of my entire life. It was really bad. It was in town in Zeeland. I lived in a little old house there. And I remember going down to the basement one night and there's water on the floor. So I, you know, scrabble around, get the lights on, and then I see things in the water. I do not want to go into more detail. But I remember a spaghetti noodle, all pale and bloated, floating by like some kind of worm. And instantly I realize my sewer's backing up. We called somebody. They rooted the lines. And I thought everything was good. You know, it was high fives all around. I wrote out a big expensive check, but I didn't care because the sewer water was gone. And then like 6 months later, it all started over again and thus began a great big process until I eventually had the whole line replaced. Help me understand what the options are. Are those the only two options when people deal with sewer backing up, that they either rooter out their lines or they replace the entire system?
Well, there's lots of different options, but that is your immediate solution to alleviate the problem that you're having.
Is to router it out.
Get that cable machine in there, router through that line, poke a hole in it, and restore flow. But it's a very temporary solution.
Because the roots come back.
Those roots are going to come back.
How are they getting in the first place?
Sometimes it's a matter of a pipe having a crack in it. Roots are getting in at that one specific crack. But what we see most of the time is these older sewers are constructed with clay tile. Okay, and that clay tile pipe is short lengths, 2 to 4 foot lengths. and the joints are sealed with an elastomeric seal or sometimes just cemented around. So what happens after 25, 30 years of being buried in the ground, those seals begin to break loose. And it doesn't take much of a void for the roots to sense that water. And by the way, that is...
The roots want the sewer water?
Oh, yes.
All
kinds of nutrients in there.
They like the nutrients that comes from everything you put down there.
Everything that goes down there, it's a good source of nutrition, especially, you know, if it's dry outside.
Right.
Okay, if it's dry, where are the roots going to get water?
Uh-huh.
From that sewer line, because you're continually dumping everything down there. So what happens, these clay pipes, the joints begin to deteriorate, and you start to get root intrusion at each of these joints. Sometimes, you know,
so I can have it at multiple joints. It can just be every 2 foot.
Every 2 feet,
it's starting to
have roots. And sometimes where those roots are coming in, they're going to run for 2 or 3 feet down that line as they continue to grow.
So then what happens is all the things.
So then you have a mesh of roots, basically, in your pipe.
That catch all the things that we flush, the paper and the whatnots.
The whatnots.
Exactly. And then all of a sudden you've got a backup, okay?
So we can rooter out the line. That's one option. You mentioned in a conversation off mic that there was something called water blasting or water jetting. How does that compare?
Jetting is another solution. Once again, it's going to be a temporary solution, but you're coming in with basically a humongous size pressure washer, and it literally just cleans up all those roots, cuts them, washes the pipe down, and it's restoring your flow again.
Is there any reason to do that over the cable rootering?
In some cases, it's necessary, depending on the particular situation.
But, like what? What would make that necessary?
Too much roots to get through with the
This will go through more roots than the cable.
It will cut out roots.
Okay. Could I damage my pipe?
That is a possibility. However, while we're jetting, we're sticking a camera down the line at the same time to see exactly what's going on.
Tell me about the pictures you get from your cameras down those lines. Do you see a lot of memorable things?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We know what you had for dinner last night.
Oh, yes. That, you laugh, but when we had that done, the technician thought that was hilarious. Oh, look, come over here. You got to see this. There's something wrong with you people.
It gives you a pretty clear vision of what's going on around your household.
Well, yeah. We're in the studio with Paul Gerbasi from Service Professor talking about sewers. Everybody's favorite topic.
Yes.
Sewer backups, even better than
even
sewers
better.
Themselves.
It's okay if you're not standing in it like you.
No, it's never okay, Betsy. Now, we just talked about some of the temporary solutions. Let's get to the permanent solutions. And I know for my situation, the permanent solution we chose was to have the entire yard dug up and a new line put in. And yeah, it completely fixed the problem. My yard was pretty bad to begin with, so that wasn't the end of the world for me. But at my new house, my yard is really pretty nice, and I'm actually starting to get it fixed from my dog wrecking it. I don't want to dig it up. Are there options to fix this that are permanent that won't require me to dig the entire yard up?
Right. There are several different options that are available to you, and it really depends on your particular situation. If you have only one bad area in your sewer pipe, we can do what's called a structural point repair, where we can shove a fiberglass impregnated sleeve into the pipe, blow that up with a bladder, and within an hour and a half, 2 hours time, you've got a 2 foot patch covering that hole, fixing that pipe.
So that would go in through a clean out?
Yes.
Okay.
And that's only going to be good if you've got one, possibly two areas of your pipe that need to be taken care of.
So let's say it's worse than that, because that was always my fear. And in fact, that was part of my situation. The clay was just crumbling. We could see as we set the camera down all kinds of areas. What would you do in that instance?
So the more popular solutions we provide today, one would be pipe bursting, a lot less intrusive than what you had done, which is your traditional excavation where you basically start digging at the front of the house and you dig all the way out to the sewer main in the middle of the street. The pipe bursting, we basically only need two holes, one perhaps in the basement floor, the other one out at the street where we can pull typically what you would refer to as a large steel broadhead, pull that through the pipe. That is going to burst the old pipe, displacing it into the soil while it's pulling a new pipe in behind it.
So that's pipe bursting.
That would be pipe bursting.
And you implied there was one more.
Right. We do a lot of lining nowadays where we take a felt sock or sleeve that we impregnate with an epoxy resin, and then that is shot from the house all the way out to the sewer main. So you have a single epoxy sleeve right from your house all the way to the sewer main that is not going to have any root growth or penetration whatsoever.
Oh, that's way better.
What kind of warranty? Is there a warranty on stuff like that?
We provide a lifetime warranty on both the bursting and on the lining.
What does a lifetime warranty mean? Does it mean my lifetime? Do you look and gauge that he doesn't look that healthy? Probably won't make it too long. We'll give him a lifetime warranty? Or what are you lifetime warranty?
Well, you are looking a little bit old there, but you know, I think you got some life left in you. No, a lifetime warranty, they actually test all these materials through wear tests, so forth. Both the lining and the point repair or patch is tested the same specifications as your new pipe, whether it's PVC or HDPE, and it shows to have a life expectancy of 50 years.
Okay.
Wow, that's pretty good.
I can live with that. 50 years of no standing in sewer water. If any of our listeners are standing in sewer water right now,
or think they might be soon,
have a moment of silence for those people and just let's send up some prayers.
Right.
But if our listeners are struggling with issues like this, how do they best get in touch with you, Paul?
Well, the best way, obviously, with a sewer backup, you've got an immediate need.
I can't think of a more immediate need unless my arm is laying on the ground and the table saw is running.
Right. But then you call 911.
Both of these are very immediate.
You're shut down when that sewer backs up. So really, for the quickest response, you're best off to call us directly. You can call Service Professor at 616-871-1900. We'll get a certified technician out there real quick. He comes out in an equipped vehicle, has the equipment he needs. He'll get that flow restored, alleviating those symptoms that you're experiencing. We do what we call our 99 Anytime Sewer and Drain Opening. That's a special we provide for our customers, and we'll also include having one of our sewer supervisors come out behind him with a camera and visually inspect the line. We can talk about all different types of solutions, but we really don't know till we get the camera in the line, see exactly what you're experiencing there, what the condition of the line is, and then we can provide different options for you to resolve the problem where you can rest assured that you're not going to have these backups ever again.
Paul Gerbasi from Service Professor, thank you for taking time to talk about sewers.
A dirty
with us
job.
On the Repcolite Home Improvement Show. Thanks for being here.
It can be a dirty job, and thanks for having me.
And that's all she wrote. Thanks for hanging out with us on another Saturday morning. A big thank you to everybody who listened to the whole show. And then I guess incremental thanks, you know, as it gets less and less, for the less of the show that you listen to. Now, everybody's going to have to decide. This is confusing, but just hang with me. You're all going to have to just decide on your own how much thanks I'm giving you. It's on the honor system.
So it's like those places where you pick blueberries and then you tell them how many pounds you pick.
Yes. So the thanks that you get is based on how much of the show you listened. Honor system, assign yourself the right amount of thanks.
Right.
Just remember that you can listen to this episode and any past one by going to repcolite.com and checking them out.
And while you're there, be sure to check out our blog and sign up for our email newsletter. Or you can even click that new form that we have right there on our homepage, and we'll help you find a painting contractor for whatever your next project is. It's easy to do. It's all right there at repcolite.com.
And whatever you do this weekend, just make sure you make Repcolite and or Benjamin Moore Paint a part of it. You'll feel better if you do. Can pretty much guarantee that.
Oh, yeah.
All of our stores, including our new location on 912 East Fulton Street, are open until 3 o'clock, so stop out and see us. I'm Dan Hansen.
And I'm Betsy Thompson. Remember, if you're about to lose your DIY sanity, we can help you fix that crazy.
And we'll help you know what to do the next time you're standing in ankle-deep sewer water in your basement. And
ew.
It doesn't involve toy boats.
What?
Not even remotely close to toy boats. Just your cell phone.
Oh, yeah. That's handy.
Thanks for listening.